Well, when Child Protective Services is called into a home where a child is suspected of being abused or neglected, you'd be right to expect that the situation for that child and that family will improve. That's the point. But very often that is not the case, at least not according to a new study in the Journal of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine. Joining us now is the study's lead author, Christine Campbell. She's an assistant professor of pediatrics at the University of Utah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Christine. Also with us is Mike R. Sham, director of the Child Welfare Organizing Project in New York. He deals with a lot of families who've been involved with Child Protective Services. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Now, Christine, we'll get to your findings in just a moment because they're shocking in a way. But first, tell us, what's the typical scenario, if there is a typical scenario, where Child Protective Services would be called into a home? What's going on in a home like that?
Well, I think from a medical perspective, we often see children where there's severe physical abuse or an immediate concern. And in those cases, clearly, Child Protective Services is absolutely necessary to come in and protect a family who has an acute crisis. More and more, I think that Child Protective Services is being called in families who have chronic and ongoing needs, such as neglect, lower-grade physical abuse, and other such issues, where I think we have a lot of room to move on how to provide helpful and appropriate resources.
Now, I wanted to ask you, is that what your study found, that in cases of acute abuse, CPS, Child Protective Services, is doing a good job? In chronic cases of neglect, it might not do any good at all because neglect continues?
The study wasn't designed to examine the question of whether repeat abuse happens. We know it does based on the CPS data that's available nationally on a biannual basis. My study looked more at whether some global risk factors in families who had CPS interventions changed over a period of 4 years or so, which is certainly longer than CPS intervention occurs in families.
And what did you find?
I found that, for the most part, these risk factors didn't really change, at least relative to families in which there wasn't CPS intervention. And so they really stayed stable. The CPS intervention, while it may have addressed the acute safety issues, wasn't capable or did not change many of the global risk factors for these families.
Mike R. Sham, director of the Child Welfare Organizing Project, you hear these results from Christine Campbell that CPS, Child Protective Services, may have helped in the short run, but it's not improving situations in families that can really harm children in the medium and short term. It's not making things better. How do you react to that?
It definitely resonates. You know, I'm sure that Professor Campbell has a much clearer view of the national picture than I do. We're pretty myopically focused on New York City, but I can tell you that in New York City, about 85% of the families facing child maltreatment allegations in family court, the allegation is not abuse, it's neglect, and it's usually neglect related to poverty, homelessness, lack of access to medical care, domestic violence, untreated mental health issues, some combination of these factors. These are families that they need help and support a lot more than they need investigation.
So that what I'm gathering from what you're saying, Mike R. Sham, is that the chronic results of poverty, destitution, can't be solved by a visit or a series of visits from Child Protective Services. It's not
right.
Necessarily designed to solve that.
You can't separate the two, and you can't separate either of the two from the issue of race and class. These are deeply rooted social problems that are just, they're not accessible to simplistic kind of solutions.
Christine Campbell from the University of Utah, do you have, what's your take on that, what Mike R. Sham is taking, that CPS is simply not designed to protect the long-term interests of children who are stuck with their families in poverty?
I think that the traditional model of CPS has certainly been one of investigation and sort of looking at how to fix the acute problems. I think there are models developing both through CPS and through other agencies around the country that do take more of a long-term approach. One of the problems is as I'm sure he would acknowledge, it's a hard job to solve poverty, and we would all like to do it because I think that would solve many problems. but those resources at this point don't exist, and in fact are declining in some well, in, throughout the nation. So I think that he's correct. I also think that I'm a little more optimistic. I work in a state that really has been fairly innovative in its approaches to child protection, which is not to say we've solved all the problems, but our agencies are very responsive to working with people interested in improving the quality of the care delivered.
All right. Well, then, Christine, if you would briefly give me a sense of how they are improving things, because one of the messages you could take away from this study is that as long as poverty exists, CPS isn't designed to help in the long term, and poverty's not going anywhere.
Right, and I don't think CPS alone can solve any of these problems. I'm not sure that poverty can be solved through these smaller solutions. But I think that partnering with other resources in the community, with recognizing the need for support in situations of where families are relatively isolated, finding other kin, other family members who are able to support families, all of these things may be changing how well families can sort of bounce back after an investigation for child protection.
Let me ask Mike Arsham briefly before we go. Mike, you're in New York City. Can child protective services be fixed? Should it? Or should we be focusing our attention on poverty and these other issues you mentioned?
Oh, no, you know, absolutely. It can be improved and fixed. And I certainly didn't mean to imply that it's the responsibility of child protective services to eradicate poverty. It's right. That's all of our job. But certainly to be aware, to understand the difference between poverty and neglect and abuse, to be realistic about the situations that our families are facing. These are families that need jobs, they need housing more than they need somebody looking in their refrigerators and their kitchen cabinets.
That's the solving of poverty, if we can do it. Mike Arsham, Director of Child Welfare Organizing Project. Christine Campbell, Assistant Professor of Pediatrics at the University of Utah, talking about the viability of child protective services. Thank you both for joining us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.